It's Air Talk here on LAS 89.3. Oh, I love this music. It feels like I'm at a caper. In a world. No. Thanks so much for being with us here on LAS 89.3. I'm in for Larry Mantle for the next 2 weeks. Oh, we're going to have some fun. Larry's on his annual summer vacation. Let's talk about retirement. Some people get really excited about the idea of it. A lot of people maybe get a little bit worried. They start looking at their bank accounts, not sure how things are going to exactly line up. And then there is Social Security, which factors into a lot of our future financial planning. A lot of folks might be really counting on Social Security to come through for them when it is time for them to stop working or when they're unable to work. But then there's also a lot of concern that Social Security might be cut by the time younger generations, think millennials, Gen Zers, finally get to that finish line. That has a lot of people upset. Obviously, we are all contributing to it. And so the idea of maybe not getting what you've contributed, not getting your money's worth out of it, yeah, it can be very frustrating. It's obviously going to fuel a lot of votes, depending on maybe even how the presidential candidates plan to approach it. But let's talk about what the problem is, how we might fix that problem, how we might plan ahead. We have two guests to help us with that. First off, we have Aaron Cottle-Hunt, who is a professor of economics at Reed College. Professor Cottle-Hunt, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
Also on the line with us, we have Kevin Mahoney, certified financial planner, founder and CEO of Illumint. Kevin, great to have you with us as well.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And for folks listening in, if you have questions related to Social Security, or if, and this is what I'm really curious about, if your view on Social Security has affected your personal retirement saving strategy, if your concerns about whether or not it will be there have affected how you plan ahead, I would be interested to hear your approach and how you are saving now, considering some of the looming cuts which could happen to Social Security. 866-893-5722 is our number. 866-893-5722. Well, Professor Cottle-Hunt, I think that first off, it might make sense to just explain to people exactly how Social Security has worked up to this point. Can you give us just a brief refresher?
Sure. The U.S. Social Security system is something called an unfunded system or a pay-as-you-go system. The taxes of current workers pay the benefits of current retirees. And so, you know, if you have a paycheck, right now you're paying taxes and it's paying the benefits of people who are currently retired. And a system like this relies on a growing population. Historically, there have been three workers paying taxes for every one retiree receiving benefits. But due to changing demographics, people live longer and have had fewer kids. There are now only about two workers to pay taxes for the benefits of every one retiree. So that ratio has fallen from three to two. And so there's just not as much tax revenue coming in proportional to the scheduled benefits going out.
And let me ask you why this is such a big deal right now, because I'll point out a comment that we got from one of our listeners already. Amelie in Irvine emailed us and says, when I was in my 20s in the 1970s and 80s, it was already very common for people my age to say that Social Security probably wouldn't be around by the time we retired. But here we are in 2024 and people my age are collecting Social Security benefits. So it seems to me like maybe we've seen this coming for a long time, right?
Yeah. So the most recent large reform was actually in the early 80s because we could see this problem coming. And so taxes were raised pretty substantially in the early 80s. But since then, the listener is totally correct. This has been like a slow moving train that we've been able to see coming. And despite knowing that, Congress hasn't done anything about it because the solutions are all painful. It would require either raising taxes or reducing benefits, neither of which are particularly popular. And so Congress has just continued not to act, even though every year the Social Security.
Oh, Professor Cottle-Hunt, it sounds like you might have cut out there. Are you still with us? Okay.
2034. So we've seen it coming for a long time.
You cut out there for just a little bit, but essentially, could you just give us a sense of if we do not change, if we do not make a decision soon, when could we start to be affected? When could we start to see maybe cuts in benefits?
Oh, sure. In 2035, the most recent estimate from the Social Security Administration is that in 2035, they would no longer be able to pay fully scheduled benefits. And if we didn't do anything until 2035, they would need to cut benefits by about 25% or raise taxes by about 4 percentage points. And those are payroll taxes.
Now, I know this is also not a popular suggestion, but is it possible to maybe raise the minimum age that a person could draw the Social Security benefits? Would that maybe change things?
Yeah, that would help a little bit. One proposal that gets analyzed frequently, like you could look this up on the Congressional Budget Office website, is raising the full retirement age to 70. And that helps reduce this budget shortfall because you pay taxes for longer if you're working for longer, and then you're retired for fewer years, and so you collect fewer dollars in benefits. But that change alone is not enough to close this budget shortfall. The budget shortfall is really big. So that would have to be part of a change, but isn't sufficient on its own.
It's Air Talk here on LAS 89.3. I'm Austin Cross. In this week and next for Larry Mantle, we are talking about Social Security. Social Security funds are rapidly depleting. And as we just heard there from Professor Cottle Hunt, if we do not make changes soon, there could be reductions up to 25% if folks wait too late. 866-893-5722 is our number, 866-893-5722. One of our listeners chimed in, Professor, really quickly before I go to Kevin Mahoney, who is our financial planner, but one of our listeners chimed in and said that she believes, this is Janet in Culver City, she believes that Social Security funding could be solved if the income amount subject to Social Security taxation was raised. She says higher income earners aren't paying their fair share into the system. I imagine a lot of people might be thinking that. Is there anything to that point, Professor Cottle Hunt?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is a really interesting program. Only the first $120,000 or $130,000 of income are subject to the payroll taxes that fund Social Security. And so individuals who earn more than that are paying proportionally less of their payroll in taxes. And so one easy way to raise taxes would be to raise that cap. Raising the cap or even removing it entirely, again, is not enough to eliminate the budget shortfall, but it's not a bad idea. Some of my own research looks at changing either the benefit cap or the tax cap. And that could be part of a solution to this funding problem.
Talking right now with Professor Aaron Cottle Hunt, Assistant Professor of Economics at Reed College in Oregon. Let's bring in our financial planner. Help us maybe save ourselves if there's no action in Washington on this one. Kevin Mahoney is a financial planner, co-founder and CEO of Illumint. Just off the bat, Kevin, when should folks really start thinking about saving for their retirement?
I would love to see everyone get started as early as they can. And I think what a lot of people don't realize is you don't need to be contributing or saving huge amounts of money when you're 23 and starting your first job out of college. Just establishing that habit and opening certain tax-advantaged accounts, allowing that money to grow over the long career and lifespan that you have, can really make a big difference, bigger than most people realize, by the time they reach retirement age.
You know, honestly, when I started in, got a full-time job, I will definitely say I did not take full advantage of that, especially when the company I was working with at the time, it was a CBS company. They were offering a dollar-for-dollar match. And I kick myself all the time for not taking advantage of that at the time. But it sounds like just a small amount at a very young age can grow very quickly. But let's think about the number of people who probably come into you, Kevin, into your office to talk to you who want to retire, but maybe they've had to dip into their savings, especially during the pandemic when a lot of people were out of work, or maybe people who just maybe didn't get their career footing until later in their lives, and so they weren't able to save up very much. What do you usually recommend to them?
Well, you're absolutely right. There are so many people, in addition to the scenarios you described, who are still trying to pay off student loans or save money to buy a house in an expensive housing market. And so just having this conversation about retirement or thinking about potential issues with Social Security can feel so daunting on top of these other things that are already taking place in their financial lives. And that's why, no matter what the future might hold for Social Security, I really encourage people to just focus on what they can control. There are so many different aspects of our financial lives, whether it's returns in the stock market or inflation or world events that impact the economy. Ultimately, we have no control over these events. And so the one consistent thing that we can do, no matter our age and no matter our circumstances, is to take a look at, the resources we have available and some of the choices that we're making, and do the best that we can and have those structures in place to maybe contribute small amounts at certain periods of time and maybe increase that to larger, contributions at different points. And I think getting focused on being overly focused on the things that we can't control can really detract from positive steps that we can take to ensure financial stability later in life.
Talking right now with Kevin Mahoney, financial planner, certified financial planner. We're talking about how folks can plan ahead for retirement. And this is spurred by a recent story that reported that Gen Zers, millennials, were concerned about Social Security, whether or not it would be there in its full form by the time they want to actually retire, or if it would be reduced so much that it could affect their lives and their planning going forward. And Kevin Mahoney, that is an important thing right now for young people who might be coming into you, who are looking at the potential of, if nothing is done, and I couldn't blame a person for not having a lot of hope for Washington making difficult decisions that could potentially make people unhappy. But for young people who are coming in who maybe just cannot count on Social Security the same way. I'm just wondering how you plan ahead. Are you counting on Social Security being as it has been, or are you now planning for scenarios where it's less than one would expect?
Yeah, I typically would not make it a central part of a financial strategy when we're, when I'm talking to someone who's in their 20s or 30s or even into their 40s. And part of that, I also think it's worth noting, is a lot of people that I work with have a different perspective on retirement than previous generations. I hear from a lot of folks that they don't necessarily want to retire full stop at a specific government, recommended age. A lot of folks just want more control over their time and more flexibility in how they work and where they work. And if people are able to find that type of job situation, especially later in life, that can greatly reduce how much they need to save for retirement at, in certain years. Or it can help with shortfalls that might otherwise exist, whether that's related to Social Security or something else. And so we may also see differences in how people approach work as they get toward those standard retirement ages.
So let's talk checklist as people are all thinking about what they've got rolling around in their accounts right now, I would imagine. What should people really be thinking about doing, checking in on when it comes to their retirement savings or accounts they should even consider having or getting to start building that foundation for a strong, maybe if they don't want to retire, but at least a strong financial future?
As a starting point, I love to see people automate contributions wherever they can, because that really reduces the burden on the person to make sure that money is going into a specific account on a regular basis. So taking advantage of technology to move that money, directly from your bank account when your paycheck hits to some other long-term savings or investing account can really help take the load off your shoulders and make sure that that's happening consistently over time. As far as specific accounts, for folks who are younger and perhaps in a lower tax bracket than they may be later in life when they reach their peak earning years, taking advantage of a Roth IRA where you pay taxes up front and then that invested money grows tax-free over time can be a really powerful way to take advantage of stock market growth and the compounded growth that happens over time. so that by the time you reach retirement age, you're done with the taxes, whatever politics are happening around different tax policies, you've paid taxes on that money, and that is yours to use in retirement.
Talking right now with Kevin Mahoney, certified financial planner, founder, and CEO of Illumint. Kevin Mahoney, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
We also heard there from Social Security expert Aaron Cottle Hunt, who's an assistant professor of economics at Reed College in Oregon. Professor Cottle Hunt, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, my pleasure.
Fascinating conversation about how young folks, Gen Zers, millennials are feeling about Social Security, the changes that are needed in order for that to be fully funded. If you missed any of our conversation, you can listen to AirTalk wherever you get your podcasts. A lot of important information in here, not only just about what's happening with Social Security and what you need to know on that side of things, but also how to plan ahead, maybe plan for a life where it could be reduced. But let us all cross our fingers that it won't be reduced. This is AirTalk here on LAist 89.3. I'm Austin Cross. In this week and next for Larry Mantle, it's always such a joy to be with you. And when we come back, this is where I will want to hear from you. Hopefully, a lot. We're talking about favorite bakeries in Southern California. Do you have one? Is there one that you just adore? You go there, you get your favorite every time. 866-893-5722 is our number. 866-893-5722 is our number. Our food editor, Gab Gibran, is going to join us to talk about bakeries, but I want to hear your recommendations. Share your best kept secret. Come on, don't gatekeep. 866-893-5722. Best bakeries in SoCal. Back in 60 seconds.